Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, they say the Romans never came to Ireland, yet not too long ago, an intact Roman pot was found in North County Dublin, and the discovery was made as part of a community archaeology project that's been running there for some years. To explain what that is, we're joined by Christine Baker, director of the Drumna excavation. Good afternoon, Christine.
Hi, Sean. How you doing?
Not too bad. So what's in Drumna that's being excavated?
Well, first of all, it's Drumna, or okay, as the locals call it, Drumannach.
Okay.
So what's there is an Iron Age promontory fort that has had lots of contact with the Roman Empire at its height, mainly Roman Britain, but with stuff coming from south of Spain and from Gaul. So, yeah, very exciting.
Right. Okay. And who would have lived there?
Well, we think a mix of people. Probably Iron Age native Irish people, but they seem to have contact with Rome, or people of Roman Britain, and people seem to be trading at a great rate, and there's possibly some settlements of Roman types for at least a short period of time.
Okay, so there would have been visitors, let's say.
Visitors, and they might have stayed for a season or two. I have an image of somebody, you know, pulling the short straw and being sent to this windy, windswept headland on the east coast of Ireland to fill in orders for, you know, cattle and other things that we exported.
Right. So it would have been a trade. And it was a kind of a trading centre. Would there have been a port nearby?
We haven't identified that yet, but there are lots of lovely beaches that boats could have been pulled in on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very much part of the seascape along the east coast. From the promontory, you can see all the way up to the Moran Mountains and all the way down to the Wicklow Mountains. And you've Lambay Island nearby. So it's very much as part of that sea trading that was going on at that period.
And how big was it, do you think?
The site itself is 46 acres and it is full, full of stuff. Yeah, we've only done 6 trenches, but sort of over the area. But everywhere we've gone, we found material from the 1st to 3rd centuries AD.
And how many people might have lived in a settlement that big?
Oh, we have no way of telling from the small amount of work we've done, but a sizable amount. We're putting together an idea of what they were up to in terms of they liked to party, basically. From what we can see, there is lots of consumption of beef and sheep and olive oil, and there's evidence for gambling. So they seem to have had a good time.
Because apart from the pot, as I understand it, you've also found a number of dice. What kind of games do you know what they might have been used for?
That's the bit we're still figuring out. We literally only found these the week before last. So we're still very much at that stage. But there's black and white peg gaming pieces. There's stone counters and cone shapes. So there's at least 3 different types of games that seem to have been played on site.
And would they have been...
The Romans were fond of a game, apparently.
Right, okay.
You know, maybe it was part of the entertainment when the traders arrived.
Okay, so but the Romans weren't turning up with a Monopoly board under their arm or anything like
that. Not quite. But we found these gaming pieces kind of in an area where there was lots of food waste, lots of shells, possibly cooking pits and stuff. So it seems to be sort of a relaxation area, shall we say.
Wow. Now, it's a community project, as I mentioned, which means, in effect, that like local people take part in this.
Yeah, it's very much the ethos for the site, and it's the community archaeology program here in Fingal has been going for 10 years. We're celebrating 10 years. So we started in Swords Castle, and it's a mix of professional archaeologists with volunteers from the local community and roundabout, people who always wanted to take part in excavations. So we're kind of making that dream come true for some people.
Okay, and I assume because it seems to be, from the little I know of it, kind of delicate, tricky work. So I assume people have to receive a degree of training.
Oh, of course. But just to dispel that myth, one of our main objects to use on any archaeological site is a thing called a mattock and a shovel and a wheelbarrow. They're the first things you get in, basically.
So it's more like a building site then.
And then you get down to the trowels and the the brushes and stuff. So, yeah, we take the training element very seriously because, obviously, we want people to get involved. And also remember, people are bringing their own talents and skills. You know, when they join up, a lot of people may have done archaeological degrees or may have watched a lot of Time Team and, you know, are very aware of the process. So we have a great finds guru, as she is, Siobhan Duffy, and she goes through all the finds that we found, what people could expect, what's the process when we do find things. So, yeah, people leave happy and knowing a little bit more about the process of archaeology.
Yeah, because I assume they have to, you know, if they get to that stage where they're part of the team where they are down to their hands and knees, they have to know if they've found something or not. That it's, you know,
yeah,
it is actually...
there's a lot of questions, which is great. You know, people are very careful. Nobody wants to make a mistake. So we get showed a lot of interesting stones, shall we say.
Well, no, that's fair enough, because I must say I wouldn't have a clue. That you could pick something up and just think, oh, that looks like perhaps it was made by humans, but then, as you say, it could have been just a stone.
Yeah, and that's, we have a range of people with lots of experience, you know, who know at this stage. You know, we also sieve everything, so that's another opportunity to find more stones, but also to find little things that might have been missed in the dig as well. When we're washing stuff, we find more again. So, yeah, nothing's getting by us, really.
When you find stuff, where do you bring it then? Is it, I mean, as you say, you probably wash it on site, but do you bring it someplace else to kind of get a more careful washing or to try and figure out what it is?
We don't actually wash it on site because there isn't any running water, but we have, and it's ongoing at the moment, in the grounds of Swords Castle. We have our, what we call our post-excavation week. So, again, volunteers are coming in and washing the animal bones and the shell and whatever else we found. And then it will go off to each particular specialist for analysis. And so, for instance, our metal stuff is already with our conservation specialist over in UCD. So, as are our pots.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a picture of the pot. Now, I saw a picture of the dice. It looks kind of like a dice, but the pot looks like... It looks like it could be a lump of turf.
Probably my photography skills. we were in a hurry to get it off to the museum. The museum took it in immediately on the day, you know, until we could get it to our conservator. So it is a pot. It has material in it. It was jammed upside down at the base of a pit. So it has been x-rayed, and we're going to do some CT scanning of it, and it will be excavated in the lab. So anything that's in it will be kept and analysed. So we're really looking forward to that.
And at Drumanagh, I assume this will be going on for a long time to come.
Well, we've done 5 seasons, which is amazing. So it's time to kind of get more analysis done, get more radiocarbon dates done, and just write it up, this kind of phase of it, and get that information out to people. Because for most things, nothing of this type has been found elsewhere in Ireland. Mm. So, you know, it is really important to get that information out and to work with the local community in terms of interpretation. And, you know, there's a real, really active tourism group, Rush Tourism, who, the Pink Ladies, who'd love to see all sorts happening there. So,
yeah.
Because when you visit the site, and I do recommend people do, it's absolutely gorgeous, birdsong, waves, sun, islands, all of that. But it's essentially a grass field if you don't know what's there. So
yeah,
we need to work on the interpretation.
And in the parts that you're actively excavating, what do you do? Is it covered? What do you do if it rains?
We get very wet and muddy.
Okay, but it doesn't flood it out and then your walk is kind of set back a few days.
The drainage is fabulous. It doesn't get flooded. So.
All right, yeah. Okay. God, there's a lot of thought has to go into that, isn't it?
Yeah, you just can't amble out and dig stuff, you know. It's done under ministerial consent with the support of the National Museum and the National Monument Service and, you know, a host of other people, the Heritage Council and, of course, Fingal County Council, who who kind of, you know, took a this community archaeology thing wasn't a thing 10 years ago, so they've been very supportive about doing it and giving people direct access to their heritage.
Mm. Christine, thanks very much for talking to us today. That was Christine Baker, Heritage Officer with Fingal County Council and a director of the Drumna Excavation.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.